and be saved from the penalty of your sins. Now Jesus, and when he did make these particular comments, an observation or a remark, it is to be taken seriously. Grandma and them, when they actually opened up the Bible, said, you know that the words of Jesus, those are in red. Those are the ones that you got to pay attention to. I mean, he's God after all, so why not take it seriously? But that's not the end of the story. You see, the two men as described in the opening scripture were actually followers of Jesus Christ. And they knew his message was familiar because they heard about it. They followed him. They were familiar with the man of God. But knowing of a message is different than understanding the message. I mean, what's understood, as I heard some players say, doesn't need to be explained, right? Well, not in this case. And that's why Jesus, watch this, quote unquote, pulled up on Cleophas and his partner on the road to Emmaus just to read, hear the comments. Now, some of you in this particular place, even though you've deactivated like 15, 11 times, are familiar with social media platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. These things did not exist when I was doing my dirt. Thank you, Jesus. But one particular homeboy of mine did find a photo of me shooting a bird when I was in college. So that's floating out there. So I just want to let you know ahead of time that. Social media. We know about it. We see it. We see comments all over the place. But we understand that the story isn't in the headline. That's not always what's interesting. What I do, and sometimes Lady Martin is so tickled by this, is that I watch a video or a Vine or a quick little clip about something or someone, and she'll show it to me. It might be somebody falling down. Might be somebody having a little a help or what have you. And then what I would do is I would be like, let me see what the comments are saying. Because that's where you really get the full picture of what's going on, or at least what people are thinking about. It is usually the comments where you really get to see people for who they are about a topic or situation. In Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 24, it goes as follows. It says, and behold, two of them, repeating the verse from this morning, were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things which had taken place, namely the death, burial, and resurrection. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and he began traveling with them, just walking with the two brothers. But their eyes were prevented by God from recognizing him. But I asked the question, why would God do something like that? Well, the answer is that God purposely blinded them from seeing Jesus with their natural eyes. In other words, in the natural, seeing is believing. But in the kingdom, believing is seeing. And they did not believe. You missed it. See, they were so accustomed to actually seeing Jesus for who he actually is, for what he actually is doing. They were used to seeing him do miracles and signs and wonders. They were going by what he looked like, but not for who he was. They didn't believe him. It's kind of like what we see even today. We see that people picture Jesus in all different types of ways. That's why in verse 17 it says, and he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. In other words, Jesus pulled up just to hear what they really felt as compared to what they understood. They knew the headline, but they did not comprehend the whole story. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people skip the whole headline or just judge somebody based off a video, judge somebody based on an immediate thought or anything like that. And they just go on and on and on with all different types of things. And they just totally skip the actual comments. Amen. The comments are something that we're actually supposed to look at and spend a lot of time on. But that's where the truth of the story actually happens. They knew this. They understood it. They wanted to be able to comprehend the whole story, but they did not. But now let's get some popcorn. You remember, see what I'm saying? Put our Michael Jackson wig on and read the comments. Verse 18 says, one of them named Cleophas answered and said to him, are you the one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and in word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel, bring people back right with God. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day, and we just don't see anything happening. Now, here's what I want to share with you this morning. I know we got a lot of activity going on, but I want you to really key in what Pastor Martin is saying at this time. Number one, some people follow Jesus based on what he looks like. What I want to show you on the screen is several pictures that you might have scrolled upon in social media that show all different pictures of what we think is Jesus. Oh, I think I got your attention now. This is what you call iconography. Iconography. Now, as you notice the different types of pictures that are on the actual screen, you'll see that they're in different shades and in colors and actually different nationalities, meaning that all around the world, people, when they think of Jesus, they drew him based on their own culture. You would see a black Jesus, you would see a white Jesus, you would see an oriental one, you would see an Arab one, you would see one that is dark as bronze. I'm winking my eyes right there. But can I tell you the truth? You can't have a relationship based on what Jesus looks like. Amen. Can I also tell you the truth? In Scripture, Jesus never said what he looked like. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, it says that there should be no graven image, not of anything in heaven or on earth, meaning that these pictures that you see are not endorsed by God. Matter of fact, it's not about what he looks like. It's about who he is. The next thing that I want to show you is this, and is that some people follow Jesus based on what he can do. On the screen, you'll see all different types of accoutrements. Back in the day, you would see, I used to watch a television show back in the early 80s called The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. The gentleman that used to preside over this particular show had a wonderful accent, and he would talk like he was just the best thing since sliced bread. And so when you think of Jesus, you believe that he should be followed because, you know, the church folk taught us that if we give, then it shall be given to us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it shall men give it to our bosom, right? 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 But what happens if by this time tomorrow does not happen? What happens when you do go to that prophetic conference and nothing comes to pass? Oh my. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. This is what I would call miracle signs and wonder chasers. In other words, you want a word, but not the whole sentence. You want to hear about what God can do for you, but not how God can change you. If you notice on the screen, you see riches and all different types of things. On the top right-hand side, you would see a different type of graphic that says all different types of things about getting things free. The next one is, oh, crap, get out of Facebook jail free card. I think I've been to Facebook jail. No, can never buy. You might think that it's all about getting bills to pay. Is that your picture of Jesus? Is that all you expect from him, is for you to get something from him and then stay in your sin as you are? You mean to tell me I could be a horrible husband and do whatever the ham fat that I want and my wife is just supposed to just take it? That's not how it's supposed to be. Even in a relationship with my wife after the last 20 years, it's about us being together because we're actually an earthly symbol of what our relationship with Jesus Christ should all be about. Sticking with you through thick and thin and putting what really matters above all else. So some people follow Jesus based on what he looks like, but it's not about what he looks like, because I can assure you, people disobey Jesus whether he's white, they disobey Jesus if you think he's black, They disobeyed Jesus. If you think he's bronze, whatever particular color that you think he's in, they don't listen to Jesus. You could just look around you. You could look on your row. You could look in your own life and see that it's really not about what a person looks like. Matter of fact, that's one of the weakest things that you can even use to justify it. But now that you know the truth that God never endorsed a picture, snap, 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 then you should be able to move on. You also understand, even at this moment in time, that it's not about following the miracles and signs and wonders, even though he can do that. He can actually do more. Because people of God, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to know who he is, not about what he looks like or not about what he can do. Verse 22 says, but also some women among us amazed us. This is people still giving their commentary. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they have also had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as he had said, or just exactly as the woman had said. But him they did not see. You see, people of God, the comments that these two men really show you what people think and feel. So they followed him, but they did not know him. What do you mean by that, Pastor Martin? They called him a prophet. They followed him all of that time, and they merely thought that he was a prophet. Prophet on that is on equal footing with Muhammad, a prophet that is equal footing with any type of nice or good teacher that did good things. We're living in an era right now where we have a lot of young people that only see the church as a community service organization. You should do things in the community, and then after that, I don't need to hear anything else. But I'm sorry, people of God, the church is not Red Cross. I'm sorry, people of God, the church is not the police department. I'm sorry, people of God, it's not a civic organization that is just going around just giving bags to the homeless only. No, not only do we want to reach the community, we also want to reach your heart. Because that's where true transformation takes place. We also want to reach your mind, because that's where true transformation takes place. Matter of fact, we want you to be saved. I'm not just talking about halfway saved. I'm not just talking about 420, and some of y'all still had kind of a rough time with 420. I'm talking about for real, for sure enough saved. And that could only come through the gospel message. They saw him from their point of view, through their comments, just like sometimes we see the comments. Oh, Jesus, that church stuff, that's the white man's religion. Jesus, that's just all about money. Or, well, Jesus, I get what you're saying and all that. And they do a couple of good things, but all them pastors with two S's just want your money. They got a Bentley outside. They don't never have no job. They just preach, and then that's it. The comments. That's what you think. But what do you really know? Do you go by what somebody tells you? Somebody just the other day tagged me in a video. I'm so thankful to God for it, about a particular individual named Kevin Wesley, who calls himself the ex-pastor, even though he was never a pastor. And you got young people all today that go on YouTube and watch video after video of things that are supposed to come against the church. Against the people of God. You stole your religion from Kemet. You stole your religion from the Egyptians. You didn't become saved. You didn't know anything about the things of God or the people of God until the slave ships came. But then when I go deeper into the comments, I say, well, what about King Ezana, who was around in the early 300s in the 3rd century? That's over 1,600 years before the first slave ships. And he was the king over all of Ethiopia. And he voluntarily became a believer without whip or chain. What if I told you that if you looked that up, you would actually find it? What if I told you that just because you see statues and oblations or Notre Dame going up in fires, that that is a form of Catholicism? And Catholicism is not Christianity as Jesus taught it. One believes in fullness of the scriptures. The other believes in the scriptures, but then stuff added to it. And it's mostly the stuff that's added to it that gives people a lot of problems. But you don't know what that is because you don't hang around long enough to find out what it really is. That's why Bible study is necessary. That's why you really need to listen. You will find out that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has no flaws. It has no errors. It just has people who are full of flaws and full of errors trying to misrepresent it. That's why the preaching of the word is so important. So even as I conclude today, in Luke chapter 24, verse 25 through 29, it says in the following verse 25, then Jesus said to them, you foolish people that are saying all this stuff in the comments, that God is dead, he isn't real, that Jesus is just a copy of Horus and Isis and some other things that are back from antiquity, not even realizing and understanding the inside of the pyramids, that was for dead people. And funeral rites are never to be taken by the Hebrews, so they're not going to look inside of the pyramids to try to find God, because they didn't believe in God. They were polytheistic. That may seem like it's over your head, but I can tell you right now that that's what needs to be unraveled in the minds of our people, because you've been on social media for so long and you've dug in there for so long until you've gotten yourself into the rabbit hole of deception. Ray Higgins, he knows. Tariq Nasheed, he knows. Hidden Colors, that's the video. You know, I could find the truth if it was readily available. You know what they're trying to hide from us? They're trying to hide that we are gods. But if we're gods, then why do you die? And how come you never come back again? Y'all all right? You good? But I thought this was supposed to be an Easter message. I got to get all those stumbling blocks out of your mind first. Because it's hard for you to lay a foundation when you got rocks inside of your shoes. Did you know? Now you know. Luke chapter 24, verse 25 through 29 says, then Jesus said to him, you foolish people, all up in the comments, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets, or believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering into his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses, all through the Pentateuch, all through the Torah, and all the prophets from Amos to Zephaniah, all the way through Obadiah, every single one, Habakkuk, and showed himself all throughout scripture, all throughout the Old Testament, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they still didn't see him. So just because you read the word doesn't mean that you know God. Just because you see what he can do does not mean that you have a relationship with him. So by this time, they were nearing Emmaus, that funny road. And at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as he were going on. Jesus was about to leave the conversation. Jesus left the group. At this moment in time, I want to show you a nice little commentary. It's going to be a quick little PowerPoint slide, because I really believe that I think I got your attention and it's engaged right now. So what we're going to simulate, young people, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is a nice little chat or a chat room. In this particular chat, you could call it, I would call it like, not Snapchat quite so much, but a different type of chat. And in this particular chat, you're going to see the commentary between individuals. Do y'all have it? Okay. So in this app, and I developed it myself just a couple of days ago, and it's called Snapback. Why are y'all laughing so much? It almost seems like that was heard somewhere else. You know, Jerry Curl. Okay, never mind. But that's what I called it. And this is called Snapback. Go ahead. So what you see on the left-hand side is a quick little commentary. The first commentary says, Cleophas, so yeah, this tomb rolled away, and Jesus told us that he would rise again. But I don't see him, in the words of our president, sad. The next side, Jesus, shake my head. I'm just here for the comments. But let's open the Bible, and I'll tell you about Jesus from Moses and all the prophets. That was Jesus talking there. But now we go back to the rest of the dialogue. Because remember, Jesus was talking to two people, so we'll call one of them Cleophas and the other one No Name. So No Name is talking now. No Name says, Cleophas, you talk too much. He pulled up out of nowhere with a sad face. Jesus then replies, Jesus, you still don't get it. Well, I have to move on. And this is when you get those looking eyes. Mm-hmm. And then right up under that, you see Jesus leaves the conversation. Just left all completely. Things get a little bit kind of tense right now because you never want Jesus to leave you. But he was still close by. So here's some good news. No Name then goes on to say, see what you did, Cleophas? It always has to be somebody named Cleophas. Y'all know somebody named Cleophas in the neighborhood, don't you? See what you did, Cleophas? Make sure he comes over to the house. He knows the word so well. It's scary. He knows it from Genesis to Revelation. Start begging him. So then Cleophas begins to beg him, says, please come to my house. And now Jesus has been added back to the group. Look at that. Jesus is now sitting inside of the house. He's basically saying, okay, I'm here. Let's recline back. Let's hear the word of God. Let's talk about some things. So as he reclines back, he then begins to do something different. He no longer preaches the word to them. He no longer tries to entertain them. He's just trying to bring clarity to their comments, make them really understand who he is and why they should believe him. He then does what we did this morning, which is have communion. And it was at that moment that intimacy and their eyes were open. Now we can see in the bottom left-hand corner, both of them saying, bruh, it's Jesus, for real, with two fire emojis. You'll be able to watch this video at a later time, but I'm basically telling you this, is that when Jesus comes into your life, he wants to know what you really think about him. And even in today, in the brief moment that I have with all the festivities that's going on, I tried to unravel at least some of that. And there's much more that I could unravel, that you could have confidence that you're not believing in some fake thing that some people invented long ago during Bronze Age mythology. That people are not just trying to fool you into thinking that he is just some person that just came up just a few years ago, because there was no letter J back then. Yes, there was no J. Long time ago. What's the answer, Pastor Martin? His name is in Hebrew. It's Yeshua. And that's been around for a lot longer than that. So you're good. And it still translates into Jesus. So it's not some mystery. It's plain and it's full of love. Can you believe that? Don't just do your own research. Doing your own research sometimes is filled with bias, and you try to find things that suit your own personality, suit your own lifestyle. No, if you want the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you'll look at the word of God. You'll get around the people of God that will tell you the true message of Jesus Christ. So verse 29 says that they begged him, stay with us the night since it's getting late. So he went home with them. Jesus understood what he was dealing with just by their comments. But he also saw that there was a change in their spiritual sight. You see, the light was getting brighter at the same time it was getting darker. You missed it. Jesus went home with them as the sun was coming down. Darkness was now getting to be over the entire face of that particular area because it's sunset outside. Nothing special, nothing deep about that. But it was just at that moment when things were getting dark that the light began to shine even brighter. You get what I'm saying? In your life right now, things may be getting very dark, and you may want to try to come to church on this wonderful Sunday just to try to get something going, just to try to get something shaken in the right particular place, just to try to get things moved in the right direction. Maybe you just even came here just to hear me holler and slide across the floor so that you could put me on church or laugh. But no, I want you to hear about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So Luke 24, verse 30 through 35 says, when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, just like we did earlier today. And breaking it, he gave it and began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning? Fire emoji, for real, within us. while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered there the 11, the other apostles, and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They heard the story. They saw the message. They were there for the miracle, signs, and wonders, but not until they came into communion with him. Not until they came into a moment of intimacy with him where their spiritual eyes really opened. No, you cannot get into the spiritual realm by your pineal gland. You cannot get into the spiritual world by looking at hieroglyphics and metal netter and all those weird types of things. You cannot get into the spirit by getting into riches and getting into power and getting into money. You cannot drink yourself into God. You cannot smoke yourself into God. You cannot sex it away, love it away. You can't do any of those things and get to God. You have to come close to him that you may know him intimately. If you got to do it every single weekend, it must not be working. But I'm just here for the comments, though. I'm just here for the comments. I know you heard some things about Jesus, and people have told you some things that he can do, like walking on water, calm a storm, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, and more. But that's not all that he can do. He can show you who he is from Genesis to Revelation. He will walk with you and talk with you and tell you that you are his own. He will sit with you when times get dark and recline back to communicate. You get that? With you through prayer, through dreams, through visions, and even more. He said that he'll be right up in your house, up front and personal, so that you can enjoy his presence. And even when you thought he disappeared from your life, he said that he will be with you always. And when the people sent or do things that are of the devil, and when they try to get all up in your business, all up in your face, try to throw up your past in your face, the wonderful thing that I love about God is that he'll say, no comment. He was there for the comments. He showed him the word. But any of you that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ain't been to church in a long, 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 long time, let me give you some good news. When Jesus comes into the picture, everything that's in your past, whether it be the devil, your coworker, your relative, whether even if it's church folk, whoever it may be, even if it's yourself, you don't have to worry about Jesus telling your business. He won't share your secret. He'll say, no comment. Well, what about the premarital sex that I have going on in my life? No comment, no comment. Well, what about the drugs and alcohol and me getting litty all over the weekend? Because, you know, I can't just put it down. What about the black amounts? What about the dope? What about the heroin? What about the mollies? What about OxyContin? No comment. No comment. It's no one else's business. Well, what about the time you said that you don't believe in God? And that you're atheist or agnostic, you know that there is a higher power. I like you, Ileana Van Zandt. I like her Yoruba priestess. You know, I like her way of doing things. So, well, what about that? Am I still worthy? I had a Ouija board. I'm into African spirituality, or I'm into Celtic, or I'm into Wiccan. I'm into all different types of things. Do you mean that God will still take me? Well, what about if I was dying in sin? What about if I had a knife to someone's neck? What about if I had a gun to somebody's head? Or what if I was so crazy that I celebrated the fact that I wanted to go to hell, which gasoline draws on. And I'm okay with it, because at least I'll be accepted down there. God will still say, if you give your life to me, no comment. I will not bring up what you've done. I'll not bring up your past. I won't even hold it against you. You don't have to worry about shaking your knees as you come to the presence of the Lord when you get to heaven. No, no, no. It'll be me, Jesus, standing there with open arms. He'll understand exactly what you've been through this life. You've been through hell and back again and back again. And sometimes you were the driver. But it says it's time for you to get out the car now. Let me take your heart, wipe away every tear. Let me take every burden, every care of this world that's piercing you in your mind, just like the thorns in my skull. Let me take every bruise, every beating, every time somebody said that they didn't love you, every single time somebody tried to poison you with words, said that you were black and ugly, said that you were pasty and yellow, that you were going to continue to have health problems, that things were not going to work out, that things don't mean anything, to that person that told you to kill yourself in the comments, to those of you that saw through that little app that's called Profoundly what people really think about you, and now that's gotten you vexed and now you're all depressed, and you got Hennessy sitting right out in the car. As soon as you get out of here, you want to go back to it again because you're trying to self-medicate so that you won't feel all of your insecurities. No comment. It does not matter. I know stuff happened. I get that. I understand that. But if I won't bring it up, why would you? If you really love me, commune with me. Excuse me, communicate with me. The old people used to sing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry, wait, sit down there, none other has ever known. In that garden, in that secret place of the Most High, it tells us that there is no one else in the garden except for you and him. What such an intimate place that would be. No judgment when you come to him. Man, woman, boy, and girl, young people, old, all alike, you do not have to clean up yourself before you come to church. Where do you get that from? You come here stank, dirty, messy. That's how I came. I still remember being in college and I was drinking Mad Dog 2020. 30-30, 50-50, white lightning, and I was just full to the brim. I could still remember the vomit being on the side of the toilet, and I was there seeing that ugly little pee stain in the corner of the toilet. I was on my face, high as a kite, did not care, and I was okay with not going to church. I began to study all different types of occult things because I was trying to get in contact with my ancestors, but I tell you, sir, ma'am, why are you trying to get in contact with your ancestors when grandma and mom is trying to tell you about Jesus? Ain't she your ancestor? Why won't you listen in that particular area? And I wasn't doing that. I was going to and fro, talking to every girl that I could see, cussing and fussing and fighting. I got scars on my knuckles from busting people in their mouth, and I was okay with it. I was one of the goons. But then a funny thing happened. I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard about how Jesus came, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. I heard that the things that I was studying on the internet, even at that time, were not true. And that I didn't have to do a whole bunch of thinking and trying to get to another level of consciousness. Only thing that I had to do is believe that he rose from the dead. It wasn't based on how intelligent I was. It wasn't based on how much money I had. It wasn't based on whether or not I came to church every single Sunday. I got a lot of people that come to church all the time and still need to be delivered. But he took me as I was. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. All you got to do, people of God, come on, stand to your feet. It's not worry about the comments of your past. You don't have to worry about what people think about you or what they say about you. If you still worry about what people think about you, you above all people are still most miserable. You got a lot of growing up to do. Following Jesus Christ is not for the faint of heart. You actually have to change as you go. But the journey is well worth it. Well worth it. So you want to know the comments that you really need to listen to? Well, how about this? Matter of fact, don't say anything. You don't have to comment. Jesus will speak on your behalf. This is all that you need to do. And it comes from out of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You want to know what the Christian religion, like to use that word, really is? It's not the worship of angels. It's not praying 400 or 500 times a day. It's not about just tithe and offering or just your attendance. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about you trying to be holier than thou. You come as you are. But you need to understand the truth that you are not going to stay the same. So if you want to know what the Christian religion is before all them versions came out, because that's what some of y'all think that too. Well, there's so many different versions of the Bible. You know some folk changed it up, did they? Or is that what you were told? A translation is not a misinterpretation. So you don't have to worry about different versions and now you don't have the right one. You don't have to worry about a pope coming in here, waving incense, asking you to give thousands and thousands of dollars so that you can be blessed to get out of purgatory. You don't have to worry about some preacher coming up to you and whispering in your ear about Jesus, but then later time, at that moment in time, is trying to holler at you at that same time. That's not what God wants. You know what pure Christianity really is? It's this verse right here, this one verse. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that hangs all the law and all the prophets. How do you live that out? How do you walk it out in your life? You turn back to Jesus by loving one another and putting God first. That's the Christian religion. Did you know that? Loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And if you confess the Lord Jesus, that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. What else is there? Sir, ma'am, what else is there? I know what you read online. I know what your homegirl and your homeboy taught you. I know what your parents showed you. Your parents didn't go to church no time. So this is foreign to you. This is weird. Love God, put him first, and love people. That's the Christian religion. Anything outside of that is man-made. God is over everything. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for your glorious gospel. We can't thank you, Lord God, that you came, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your people. We thank you, Lord God, for your everlasting kindness. And we thank you, Lord God, for forgiving us from all our sins and for all of our sins and unrighteousness. Wash us and make us whole, Lord God. Let us not leave this place thinking that there is no way to turn back again. Lord God, I pray for every sinner that is in this place that does not know you. Lord, bring them peace and comfort. Turn the light on in their hearts. It may have been a long time since they've been in church, but Lord God, let them know that you love them and that you have a wonderful plan for their life. And God, let them know that you will work with them. He'll come to your house, even with all of your issues. He'll come to your house, even though things are not right in your mind. He'll come to your house. Why are you still listening to all different types of music? Why are you listening to things that you have no business being in? He'll still come to your house if you'll invite him in. To every believer in this place, continue to follow God. Continue to be a good example. Don't get caught up in religion. Don't get caught up in social media. Put God first in everything that you do. We love you, Lord God, and we honor you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anyone in this place that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as the old preachers would say, won't you come? The doors of the church are wide open. Not the physical building, but I'm talking about heaven's gates are wide open. I'm not talking about your church attendance. That doesn't mean that you're a Christian. I'm not talking about you being in church all of your life because you went by force with your parents or your grandparents, that doesn't mean that you're saved. You can't be saved by proxy. You can't be saved by grandmama or granddaddy's faith. That's not how it works. You have to allow for Jesus to come to your house. Not the house that you drove from this morning, but I'm talking about this house, this temple. Do you know him? If you were to die tonight, do you know where you are going? I'm not talking about what you're going to do after service. That could be anything. And that's none of my business. But God is asking you at this moment in time, if you were to die tonight, do you know if you're going to heaven? Do you know that your soul is secure for the rest of your life? Do you understand that no president, no matter what color or how much money that they have, no political office, no political party can save you? No gods that are around the planet that you studied up on can save you. You gotta do too much. You gotta visit certain places. You gotta pray a certain number of times. But when it comes to Jesus, you just gotta believe. Isn't that simple? That's simple. Won't you come? Won't you give yourself back to God? It's been hard without him. Really hard without him. And if you get saved, it's not a guarantee that things will get easier. That's not how it goes. Just because you get saved doesn't mean that there'll be trees of green and red roses too. Rainbows, purple hearts, green clover, or purple horseshoes. It's going to be hard to change. It's going to be hard to get all of the stuff that happened to you when you were a little girl or a little boy out of your system. It's going to be hard for you to get rid of those anger problems. It's going to be hard for you to put down the drink or put down the smoking. It's going to be hard for you to put down the sexual perversion and the pornography. It's going to be very hard because you got a serious cussing problem. It's going to be hard for you to change. But if you come, I guarantee you that Jesus will make your life worth it. Just for a few more seconds, come on, let's sing together. Hallelujah, you have won a victory. We're almost done, people of God. Hallelujah. You have gone the veil for me. Death could not hold you down. Let him speak to your heart. Don't come to church just to not change. You are.
You are the risen King.
Let him work on you. Give it all to God. Last time.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
What's the highest praise?
Hallelujah.
It won't get any easier your way. Your way is killing you. How about God's way?
Death not hold you down.
You are
the risen King. Seated in
all the pain, all the hurt, give it to him.
You are the
relative that touched you, the secrets that you hold, give it to him. The pain that your child's parents is giving you, give it to him. Your financial problems, give it to him. Your health issues, give it to him.
Hallelujah.
And Father, we thank you now. We bless you even as we close out this service. Touch these, your people. Speak to their hearts even beyond today, that one of them will return and give their hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I hope and pray that you enjoyed the service this morning on this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning. One thing I've learned in all of my time being in ministry over the last 16 some odd years in total is that just because a person doesn't come to the altar area doesn't mean that things ain't happening in their heart. Because did you know that this used to be the altar, but now the altar is right where you are? You have to let him in. You have to answer to God when you die. You have to change, and no one can make you do it. Social media is not going to help you. You have to do it. You have to change. Be blessed, people of God. I love you. There's nothing that you could do about it. Meet and greet somebody. Consider yourselves dismissed. The attendants that are around the building will be there to help you. We got the bounce house blowing up on the outside. You can smell the food. Y'all were distracted, yawning, but now you got your eyes open once again. Don't spend all that money. Go ahead and get you some food. Fellowship one another. And have a good time. Be blessed, people of God.